Now, before I start, just to remind you that the word for today for the winter season has arrived. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 on that bench, and there's one here. If you don't want it, if you don't like it, give it to somebody who you want to evangelize. Because if you can't say anything, you could just say, "I find this really helpful." That's it. You've done it. You've passed it on. And that can change somebody's life. Just by using the word for today. It's happened before. And towards the back it says, 3 reasons why you need Jesus. Jesus loves you. He desires to have a relationship with you and to give you a life full of joy and purpose. Why do you need him in your life? Number 1, you have a past. I like that, don't you? You have a past. You can't go back, but he can. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He can walk into those places of sin and failure, wipe the slate clean, and give you a new beginning. Number 2, you need a friend. Jesus knows the worst about you, yet he believes the best. Why? Because he sees you not as you are, but as you will be. When he gets through with you, what a friend we have in Jesus. And number 3, he holds the future. Who else are you going to trust? In his hands, you are safe and secure. Today, tomorrow, and for eternity. His word says, "For I know the plans I have for you. Plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen." And Jerry will tell you where that's from. Jeremiah 29:11-12, the Living Bible. That was the Living Bible version. Yeah. Anyway, back to why I'm supposed to be stood here. Let's pray. Father, people who stand here have no idea how it's going to go. No idea how it's going to be received, the message, Lord. And we just stand here and hope and trust and put our faith in you. And that's what I'm doing right now, Lord. I didn't even know how to start this message. And I went back to pray several times because I could not start writing. So, Lord, I pray that you reveal the purpose of this message to every heart that is open today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today's message is called The Domino Effect. The Domino Effect on the 20th of October 2024. And some of you will be saying, "What is the domino effect?" Well, before we consider that, let's make sure we know what a domino is. Firstly, though, you need to get the image of a pizza right out of your mind. Right? Generally speaking, a domino is, and there are 2 meanings. The first one is any of 28 small, sometimes black, sometimes white, oblong pieces marked with 0 to 6 pips or dots in each half of one side of it. The back of the piece or the tile or whatever you want to call these bricks appear identical to all the others, just like playing cards do. Now, for those who have played dominoes or doms, if you're an expert, let's have a game of doms. You will know that when dealing out the pieces, they are shuffled together and dealt out like cards so that no one can see the value on the tile. Each player, there needs to be a minimum of 2 players, then picks up their tiles and arranges them so that only he or she can see the dots on them. Similar to playing cards. Now, the person with the highest double number, or failing that, the highest tile number plays first, and the next player uses his or her holding so as to connect a number, a similar number, onto the tile of the one just played. The aim of the game is to play as many tiles as you possibly can, and ideally end up with none in your possession, because if you are the first to do this, you've won. Otherwise, it's the one with the least value on the tiles in their possession who is the winner. All right so far?
Yeah.
Right. The problem is, in part, that it's difficult to play tactically when you can't see what the other person is hiding from you, because that's how you play. The other problem is that if you have the right numbers or blanks, you are obliged, you are supposed to play your turn and not withhold your hand, as that might be considered cheating. The success of the game is, in part, down to each player using what he or she has been dealt honestly and with wisdom. All right? You got that in your head now? Right, now to the scripture. Which you think has got nothing to do with dominoes, right? But never mind. The Lord knows what he's doing. So 1 Corinthians 12:12 to 27. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. And so it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I don't belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you," and the head can't say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Now, I told you the first meaning of the word domino. There's another one which not many of you will know, I guess. Maybe you do. But historically, the word domino is a loose cloak worn with a mask for the upper part of the face at masquerades. Nobody nodding. A loose cloak worn with a mask for the upper part of the face at masquerades, to play masquerades. Now, as I look up from here at those people sat in the pews today, If I stretch my imagination, I can all see you as a row of dominoes. How does he do that? A row of dominoes, but with the number of dots hidden from my eyes. All dominoes, but I can't see the numbers on your tiles. Maybe you can see what numbers you hold, but I can't. And God can see everything. All of them. All the numbers, all the people, everything that I can't see, he can see. But I can't. In a way, if you are acting like a domino, as in you're wearing a loose cloak and a mask and playing masquerades, then the game is going to be very difficult to play properly. You see, to play the game properly, you need to be willing to play your part, not just hang on to your tiles and watch other people put theirs down. To play the game properly, you need to play your piece. Matthew 25, 24 to 28. And then the man who had received the one talent came. And he said, "Master, I knew that you were a hard man, a harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here it is. What belongs to you?" His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed, did you? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. In this illustration, the servant was given something of value, by his master, who expected him to use it to full advantage. He was expected to overcome his fear of failure and use what he had received in faith. Use it or lose it, as they say. Fear was not an excuse to that master, was it? I was afraid I couldn't do anything, so I buried it. Not excuse, not acceptable. His master judged him not as just fearful or weak or lacking. He judged him as lazy and disobedient and not valuing what his master had entrusted to him. The result was not positive. It wasn't nice. In fact, it was negative. The result was negative. Now, it's unclear whether the other people who received talents or gifts have been talking together, but either way, this lazy servant didn't appear to ask for advice either from his colleagues or his master. He just wimped out. Couldn't be bothered. Thought little of the value of what he'd been given. And so, well, it's not even worth working with. Let's bury it and give it back to him. But he paid the price for that. For wimping out and for not acting in faith, he paid a terrible price of rejection. He was dishonored, and his master didn't think much of him at all, did he? Now, if you've been selected to play the domino game, or in the case of the church, been admitted into God's family by being born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, then you have, by definition, been given and entrusted with some talents, some spiritual gifts, to use for the benefit of the body of believers and for God's glory and to promote the kingdom and to bring others into the kingdom. You are, in effect, whether you like it or not, responsible for whatever talent or gift that he has entrusted to you. In the case of a game of dominoes, the aim is to use up, as far as possible, every tile that has value. In the church body, the same thing applies. Use up and exhaust every gift and talent that has been given to you. Not just for the sake of the body of believers, but also because God is going to ask you why you didn't, if you didn't. Why didn't you? Maybe you don't know what your talents are yet. It's very possible that you don't know what your talents are, but have you asked? Ask God. Ask other people. Sometimes it's clear from other people's points of view what your talents are, what your gifting is, but you may not think much of it. You might think, like the guy with one talent, that actually it's not a lot of value, but his mates could have told him, couldn't they? You've got one talent, you can do this with it, you can do that with it. Nah, I'll just bury it. Find out what it is. If it's been given by God, you can guarantee it's got value. Many problems within the modern church derive from a few people trying to do the workload and the tasks of what should be many people. Now, this is where a domino effect comes into the message. The domino effect? What's the domino effect then? This is what a domino effect is. A domino effect is the cumulative effect produced when one event sets off a series of similar or related events, a form of chain reaction, you might say. The term is an analogy to a falling row of dominoes. It typically refers to a linked sequence of events where the time between successive events is relatively short. Did you get that? Just picture it. Ding, 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 ding. That's what that was trying to say. You must have seen it, mustn't you? People take hours upon hours, if not days, carefully lining up thousands and thousands of dominoes so that when the first one falls, it falls into its neighbour, which then falls into its neighbour, until all the dominoes have been affected by that one initial movement. One's got to move before the rest move. Now, what do you think would happen in the church if just one person found that not only did they have in their possession a talent or gift, but also were willing to step out in faith to use it for God? Imagine that happened today in this church, that someone realized that they had a gift, a spiritual gift, or another gift. And they said, you know, I think I could use this in faith, or at least I'll give it a go in faith that this gift was given to me by God. Maybe something that no one had noticed in them, or perhaps that they didn't realize they had, but that someone revealed to them. Something that they thought was perhaps insignificant, but when used, had a certain domino effect. A domino effect, an effect that encouraged others to do exactly the same thing. To step out in faith and trust God to do the rest. So if you are the kind of domino that wears a cloak and a mask, take it off. Not masquerades anymore. Take it off. Take the mask off, take the cloak off, and be who God created you to be. He didn't create you to wear a mask and to wear a cloak in that respect. Okay, so maybe you don't identify as a hand, or an eye, or an ear, or a foot, but maybe you can use your hands to help others who are using theirs. If you've got hands, why wouldn't you want to do that? Maybe you can see where the body needs help and prayer. And on a spiritual basis, maybe you can see spiritually where there's a problem, where God might be saying something to somebody through you, and you're the only one who can see it. Maybe you can hear from God. Maybe you can hear what God's saying to the people in the church. Maybe you know what this local neighborhood needs, what God is saying about it. And maybe your feet can carry you to take good news of Jesus to other people in various places, where perhaps you're the only one who goes there. Maybe it's the swimming pool. Maybe it's the co-op. Maybe it's Sainsbury's. Maybe it's somewhere where you don't meet other people from the church, but you happen to go there. Maybe it's Metheringham Airfield. Maybe it's the RAF. Maybe you play dominoes with your mates at the village hall. The Apostle Paul had a lot to say about spiritual gifts, and these too should be used. They need to be revealed and become an everyday event, not hidden away for fear of being used incorrectly or causing embarrassment or confusion. They should be used. In 1 Corinthians 12, 28 to 31, this is Paul speaking about the church. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, and then workers of miracles, and also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kind of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Eagerly desire the greater gifts. Now, there are an increasing number of modern denominations and local churches that believe that these gifts no longer exist. Now, is that because the majority of the members of their body in church are afraid to use them? Is that the reason? Because they're wearing cloaks and masks and hiding the value of the talents, so to speak? So we don't expect to see anything to happen. So therefore, it's like self-fulfilled prophecy. We just don't do that here, do we? So if that is the case, maybe like holding dominoes, they have them, they have value on them, but they feel afraid or whatever it is to bring them out into the open. Now, last Sunday, Heidi spoke about her desire to see a vibrant church full of energetic, spirit-filled, hopeful people. You know, and I feel just the same. And a lot of people do, don't they? Why would you not? And I seriously wonder if God is saying, but I've given you everything that you need. The gifts were given. But you, God says, perhaps, you appear to be afraid to use them. So are we all wearing a cloak and mask? Have we forgotten who we are? Are we falling into a habit that excludes the gifts of the Holy Spirit, for example? Have we come to no longer to expect miracles? We no longer expect healings. We don't expect to hear people speaking in tongues. We don't expect, therefore, to get interpretations of those tongues. Is this why we sometimes look like a small religious gathering and not like the early church believers? Is that why, perhaps? Are we unwittingly grieving the Holy Spirit because we have created a Sunday morning formula that is hampering the movement of God? Is that possible? Is it at all possible that in a few years we also will come to the conclusion that the gifts of the Holy Spirit were for the early apostolic church and not for us? That they are neither necessary nor available for today? I personally believe that a movement of the Holy Spirit can be triggered by one domino removing their mask or cloak and stepping out in faith. I'm not suggesting it will result in all of us falling over like dominoes. That's not what I'm suggesting. But it could be exactly what God is waiting for someone to step out in faith, to give a message in tongues, for someone to interpret those tongues by exercising a spiritual gift, which you might know that you have. You might not know that you have, but the very process may reveal other spiritual gifts. The last reading for today is from 1 Corinthians 14:37 to 40. Paul again. If anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritually gifted, let him acknowledge that what I am writing to you is the Lord's command. If he ignores this, he himself will be ignored. Therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. But everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. I'm going to read that again. If anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritually gifted, let him acknowledge that what I am writing to you is the Lord's command. If he ignores this, he himself will be ignored. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, no doubt, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. But everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. As I was finishing this message, I came across a very unusual revelation of the word domino. Never heard of it before, and here it is. The word meaning of domino is, quote, of the Lord, Latin linked. It is a gender neutral of French origin that keeps the bearer of that name, keeps his or her eye on advantageous opportunities. Advantageous opportunities. In other words, don't miss the opportunity to move in faith. So what kind of domino are you today? Are you one with a mask and a cloak? Are you one that's got certain values on you? Double numbers, double six. Or a blank and a one. A blank and a one. Is that worth anything? Of course it is. Or maybe you identify as of the Lord. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you that you loved us first. I thank you that we can stand on your word. I thank you that you have a plan for each one of us. You do give us hope. You do give us a future. And Lord, you call us to act in faith, not to fear, to stand up and to stand out And Lord, encourage one another as we see the day approaching. Lord, be with us now and forevermore, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.